Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Scott, who is here to speak with us about his experience of stewarding projects at the monastery. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks, Jen.
Hey. So I was just looking at, funny, as I was considering this interview this afternoon, seeing how, you know, Sherry sometimes jokes, well, we always talk about the same things, right? Every retreat is basically about the same thing. And it's so true. And yet each retreat has its own theme and it has its own thing. And it feels like the specifics of what we're looking at, even though we end up in the same places process-wise and we have the same basic process conversation, there's something about the specifics that really gives such a rich and, I don't know, informed portal into what we're practicing with. And I was looking at how, you know, something like stewarding projects at the monastery is one of those places where it really gives us something very concrete to practice with.
Yes, exactly so. And it really gives us a way to see all the like principles that we talk about in practice. We get to see how those can be applied to just day-to-day living and things that we are working on and need to steward. Yeah, it's really fun.
Yes, precisely. So it really takes away that sort of, okay, practice is this. I sit on, you know, that it's sitting on the cushion and it's mindful eating and it's, and it really opens it up to, oh, well, practice is in everything we do. So I think that's one of the reasons we thought it would be such a fun topic because, you know, just like everywhere, the monastery is somewhere that, you know, the plants need to get planted and things need to get fixed and things are built and all kinds of stuff needs to happen. And so how does that happen within a practice context?
Yeah, and it really points, and we'll get to some examples, about it's not what, it's how. Because I have done some projects similar to what I'm doing here that I wasn't applying practice principles to, and it's just definitely not as enjoyable to do. And, you know, just there's just simple things like, I think, you know, we've mentioned, or Sherry's mentioned, that there's a communication book being written, and that is a big principle that we look at here is communicating and how important that is in stewarding projects, you know, and for all kinds of reasons, but like, there could just be something like one of the things that I steward is I think folks may remember a couple of years ago, we put in water tanks so that we could have irrigation for our garden and for the other plants and things like that. So one of the ways we work with that is we move the water from the tanks that are farther away from the garden to the ones that are closer. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I know how to do that. You know, I get these pumps and I put it in that tank and, well, the one thing we need to do is just stop and kind of expand awareness because I'm not the only person stewarding a project on the property. And just that place of, hey, community, this is what I was looking at doing, which actually is really important here in all kinds of ways. But one of them is, you know, most folks know we're off the grid. And so we have parameters to the power that we can use and how many things we can use. So I may think, oh, yeah, that's great. I can use these pumps. I don't think anything else is going on. No problem. Meanwhile, somebody's using the compressor over in the shop. So just to
and the RoboCo is running in the kitchen.
And the RoboCo and the coolers are going and somebody's about to do the vacuuming in the meditation hall. And I love it because it takes me out of me because all of a sudden the awareness expands. Oh, there's a lot of things going on. And it's just, I don't know, I just love being connected to that and communicating is one way that we get to do that.
It's so true. And that really, I mean, it's one of the great privileges, isn't it, living in the way that we live? Because, I mean, everywhere, all the time, people are using a ton of electricity and have no idea how it's being used, right? And they don't know what uses a lot of electricity and what doesn't. But here we do intimately. And that's one of the things that, you know, so you went right past it. But in I know how to do that, you know, pumping the water from here to there, how many things even in that we learned, we researched, right? It's just amazing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that kind of thing goes on. And we just have the great privilege, too, of getting guidance on things. I mean, it could be simple, like, you know, one of the other places that I steward is the the propane. And so, the propane needs to be changed at the outshower. Well, I've actually never done that before. I've been instructed on doing it before. So it could go in a direction of, oh, I've seen that done before. I'll just go and do that. But again, I get to communicate about it, and then I get some information back that expands the awareness, which is great. How about you do that while the person who's kind of really dialed into that is on the property? So in case you run into anything, they'll be there to assist you. And I mean, just the kindness in that, you know, like what a great idea. But I'll tell you, before practice, it would have been, I know how to do that, and I would have got myself into something and had a really hard time getting out of it. You know,
So what I hear you saying is basically you're paying attention. And when we're paying attention, the awareness is expanded enough to take in the information, not just about this one thing and me, of course, how it affects me and what I, but to be able to stand back and get that bigger picture.
Yeah. And when we stand back and get that bigger picture, then, you know, life can inform us. You know, and concrete people in our lives can inform us too.
Because that is life, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And when we're in that place, when we're communicating, when we have that expanded awareness, then we can actually kind of experiment with things within that kind of structure. So, maybe I'm stewarding a repair project on a hermitage or something like that. And it's like, well, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm seeing the issue is. So I communicate that. Here's what I proposed or suggest as a possible solution. And I get some feedback on that. And then it's kind of like, well, within that, well, go ahead. Let's see if that works. And it's just such freedom because I'm not consulting conditioned mind on how to go about it. There's a way that turning to guidance, or, you know, a lot of times we turn to the recorder as a way to turn to life. And now you're in kind of life sphere, and now there's all kinds of room and places to learn, essentially. So yes, go ahead and try that out. You know, how you're going to repair that window frame, and then let us know how it goes, and then we'll take the next step.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is a piece of what you're seeing with that, Scott, but as you're saying that, what I'm seeing is, you know, all of us, many, many of us share the conditioning that I should know, I should be able to do this, I should, even if it's something I've never done before, right? And so there's sort of that side of the duality, right? I'm going to take control and I'm going to, or there's the other side, like, I don't know. I mean, who am I? I don't know how to do this. I've never done anything like this before. I can't do it. Give it to someone else, you know? So those are sort of the two sides of the duality. But what really caught my attention is when you brought up recording and that place of, okay, so life has given me this project. Let me, in the spirit of inquiry, record about it, look at, you know, if it's appropriate, maybe look into how, you know, maybe Google it or, but do all of the things I can do on my end, sort of with that spirit of inquiry, to look into it, then communicate, as you say, and then have the room to have an experience, to have my own direct experience of it and to learn from that.
Yeah, that was well laid out, Jen, that place of, well, how do we get out of the duality with anything we're approaching in our lives where it can be, you know, that's a very familiar one. I got it. I know how to do it. Or I don't know how to do it. I'm out. And what a limited place to live. And we've talked a lot about how recording and listening is just such a, in fact, we have a class going on right now that I was a part of. And we were just talking, you know, someone was mentioning that, what a beautiful way to exit that conversation and be here in life where we can be informed, where there's lots of possibilities, where the awareness is expanded, where we're connected, you know. It's really, gosh, it's just so, it's so enjoyable.
Yes, and so practical, right? Like, really? I could do a recording about that? Absolutely. You know, gosh, I'm not really sure how to approach this. You know, it feels like the propane thing. Well, let me do a recording about it. And what's so fun about that is that so often something will drop in that I never would have thought of.
Yeah.
Even on the content level.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where that, you know, I was looking at the screen door on the garden chalet, and it just, you know, you can hear the conversation start up, like, well, I don't know how to fix it. I don't even know how that, I don't even know what's wrong with it exactly, you know, all of that.
How am I supposed to know?
Exactly. Just like, well, somebody else already tried it, and I don't know, and da 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 da. And it's just to take that deep breath. I mean, getting on the recorder is a great one just to get centered, or just to get that conversation out loud that's interfering. It's putting up a barrier between me and life. And then it was amazing. It was like things that I was noticing, but also something somebody else said to me about it. I was like, oh, right, the hinges. They were saying, oh, if you push the door this way, then it opens better. Oh, why is the door falling? Oh, the hinges need to be tightened. And then it was kind of like, well, gosh, it's not turning quite right. And then it just came in. Well, did you just try some lubricant? How about some WD-40? And the mind was like, no, we've got to take it apart and do all this stuff. And it's just like one step after another. And I mean, for me, what's so beautiful and healing for this person is I get to see that I'm completely adequate to anything, actually, that I'm offered to do. And that has not always been the case. And to see just life coming through and supporting and informing, it's really beautiful at any point, whether I'm freaking out or I'm just not sure what to do next or at any point, it's just meeting me perfectly. And again, like we were saying, there's so many ways to access that recording and listening being a really fantastic one.
Well, and that's so great, because what I saw when you were saying that is that a piece of the adequacy might be, I need some help.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And it doesn't have to be all up to me. That could be the next piece of the adequacy.
Jen, you keep naming all my karma in the conversation. but it's such a good point that you get to go up against your karma. You know, so I don't want to ask for help. I should be able to figure this out on my own. And it's like, gosh, I actually do want to ask for help. You know, I want to receive the assistance because it's a kindness to everybody, really.
Yeah, there's a funny way.
The door to me.
that proves my adequacy to me as well.
Uh-huh.
That process of I want some help here. It doesn't mean anything about me. It doesn't mean I failed. But that actually can reinforce my adequacy instead of what the voices say, which it will undermine it. Yeah.
Mm. Well said. Yeah, that's my experience. Yeah.
I cannot believe it, but it is 5:02.
I know. I just saw that too.
I'm sure there's 100 more examples that we can maybe we should
there
do.
Is a hundred, there is 100 more examples. Yeah. It was fun. I'll record and listen about it later.
Okay, good. And we'll have to continue the conversation at another time.
Okay.
It's very fun. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, Jen. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Scott. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun.
How are you?
Huh? Good. I was enjoying going around the monastery with Scott and Jen.
I love that conversation.
Good. Yeah. I mean, we can all see ourselves in it, right? Whatever it is that we're doing, all those places that they mentioned, we're all just right there.
Yes, exactly. And I love that place, you know, on the one condition side is, well, I can do it all myself and I know what I'm doing. And then on the other side is, well, I don't know how to do anything. But in the middle there, if I'm just willing, you know, that helps everybody on the team. Even if I don't know how to finish it, or if I can just, you know, take a couple steps and keep communicating the whole way, everybody wins.
Exactly, which is why, of course, that's so unpopular with ego. Just try to set those roadblocks in front of us every step of the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exciting. Exciting.
It really is, and so much more fun. So much more fun than setting off down the trail with ego as the guide. You know, it's not going to be a good journey.
Yeah, exactly. And actually what dropped in is I was remembering Jen's conversation with Bob last week about technology stuff. And everybody says, well, let's give it to Bob because he'll be able to work on it. And he doesn't have a clue either. But he shows up, and he's willing to, you know, I mean, he has a lot of experience, And he's willing to take the first steps, you know, to get it started and to see what's needed. And he communicates well with everybody. And then we all benefit from that.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he is rather a stellar role model for that kind of behavior.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And we all, as you said, we all benefit.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly. I have announcements here, unless you want to start us in another direction.
No, okay. I'm good with announcements.
Okay. Are you ready to get away from day-to-day pressures and immerse yourself in a practice and community focused on waking up? The Your Practice Retreat, September 29 through October 6 at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk. Yes. And Politics from Center, a new group coaching opportunity, will offer support in courageously and mindfully engaging in a political activity of your choosing in a way that challenges you to transcend fear and express deep caring in the world. Mm-hmm. The coaching session includes facilitated conference calls and email check-ins and starts September 21st.
Wow. Coming right up.
Coming right up. Also coming right up, Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins October 1st.
Wow. See, dates don't seem possible, do they, Michael? We're talking about
fall. <don't>.
How did you get here?
I know. It feels to me like every couple weeks we start announcing the New Year's retreat.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. And yet, as I always am fond of pointing out, that last New Year's retreat seems about 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're both true at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And you, Sherry, will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on November 7th. This event is free and is part of the campus Contemplation by Design Summit. You'll talk about using this great tool to focus attention to live authentically.
Yeah. That's kind of that's full circle for us, isn't it? That's where we started this act. we're so young.
Uh-huh. that event sounds really fun. I look forward to going to that.
Good. Me too.
Okay. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. A 5-minute conversation on one topic is great.
Mm.
Yes.
Keeping me to 5 minutes and one topic is the challenge. But I know everybody does their best, so I'm happy about that.
Exactly. All right, let's get started.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Sri Baby in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Sri
Baby. Hi, Sri Baby.
Hello. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm well. I'm just calling to check in. I happened to just walk in the door 5 minutes ago, and I was like, I'm just going to call in and see what happens.
Oh,
I love
very good,
I'm
very
the first
good.
Caller.
Yes, that magic of putting yourself in the queue.
Yes. So I didn't have anything specific to talk about, but I guess something that was just dropping in is I was looking at a really wonderful experience I'm having right now, where I'm in a slightly different environment, where I'm staying in a home by myself for 2 weeks, and no one is here, and so it's completely silent. And as I woke up this morning, I was looking at how kind that is, because one of the experiences I've had being a visiting monk is that you get to see what, in complete silence, you get really clear about what's going on. And so I'm getting that same experience here, but it's an but there are a lot of distractions here in terms of external things, because I have access to a TV and I still have to go to work and interact with other people in a certain way. So it's a different kind of a privileged environment, but it's still just as enlightening, or as interesting rather.
Revelatory.
I'm really appreciating
huh?
that. Yeah. Yeah.
And just
one quick thing I'll say about it is I was really noticing last night as I was going to bed, I was just so committed to trying to go into bed at a really solid time, and there was nobody here, you know, no one questioning me or doing anything. It's like it was all under my control. Yeah. And I just watched myself stare at a phone for like 30 minutes past the time I wanted to go to sleep, and I was just like, what is this phone offering me? Nothing. And it was so fascinating to just be in an environment where there's no other human beings. So you really just got to see what's going on with me and these devices, or what's preventing me from go to sleep. You know, it's not, oh, I have to do all the dishes before I go to bed, and I have to make sure I pack the lunch. There's nothing like that. It's just, no, it's just you and your phone. That's it.
We have no one to blame for this.
Yes, yeah.
Which is so helpful to see, isn't it? Oh, all this stuff is me because I'm the only one here.
Yeah.
So everything that I'm experiencing, it's kind of an up walking around version of meditating in front of a blank wall.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing, there's just me and that blank wall. And my whole life is going on just as if I'm up walking around interacting with other people.
Yeah. And so I guess that's the only thing, is just this wonderful experience I'm going to have over the next 2 weeks of just getting to see what's going on when there's no one around, but I'm still in this environment. Like, what's really happening with me?
Yeah. And what I project you're bringing to it is kindness.
Yeah. I think it's been interesting to watch the beatings happen and then just go, well, that's really silly. And I'm just going to let go and just try, especially because I happen to be going through a very, very difficult content time in my life, just really trying to bring as much kindness to the human being, because I know what the experience is when the beatings take over and the path that then shows up. And so to be in the place of going, well, the beatings are still there, but I'm so much more interested in this person having a healthier experience, and I'm just going to do my best to just keep being reminded of that however I can.
Yes. Well, and again, I project that what you're getting to see is how ego does to her what it does to her.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then your job is to get between her and that hatefulness.
Yep. Yeah.
And just keep coming back to, doesn't matter, I choose unconditional love. Yeah, all kinds of stuff happens. I choose unconditional love.
Yeah. Yeah, and it actually just happened, and it was so in sync with the previous, with the good news update of that place of you should know something that you don't know, the way that ego gets us. And I was watching myself from the event I was coming from and just listening to the voice saying, well, you should have known that, and if you had known that, something would have gone differently. I'm like, there is no way I could have known that. And then I watched myself feeling bad. Then I watched myself wanted to go towards my traditional coping behavior. And then I watched myself go, but that's not what's healthy, so I'm not going to do that. And then I watched this really brilliant thing happen of like, oh, my God, but if I don't do that, I'm going to stay sad forever now. And I was typing it up in a process text, like this is what's going on. And as soon as I typed it and I saw that, I just laughed. I was like, well, that's ridiculous. And immediately it was gone. It was like, that's just, I don't believe that to be true.
Oh, that's it. Wizard of Oz pulling that old curtain back, right? That's just silly. But if you weren't practicing the way you're practicing, you wouldn't have seen that. Because I bet I bet you've fallen for that a lot of times in your life.
Yeah, I'm just so grateful for practice because I'm getting so much support from the monastery right now. And it's just the kindest thing, and it's so beautiful and so wonderful. And just that reminder of how important it is, as we were talking about, recording and listening and what's available to drop in, that as soon as I leave a conversation in my head, and even if I just said it out loud, even if I didn't have my recorder in front of me, even if I just texted myself, there's something in that moment that allows for some level of disidentification that I can kind of just go, ooh, what's going on there? I don't think so.
No. And you're right here.
Yeah.
It's
so,
a wonderful thing.
So I'm doing well and just really grateful that I'm in where I am and seeing what I'm seeing.
And on a completely disconnected subject, Shwini and I were just talking about this fall and the Africa campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to know we're all going to be in Zambia in November.
Yes, I'm very, very excited.
For one of the most thrilling campaigns when it was laid out for, I couldn't believe it. You are brilliant.
Well, let me tell you, I got a sneak preview today of what all of these wonderful human beings have been putting on behind the scenes. And I'm not going to give anything away, but just get ready to be blown away. It is so exciting. I'm so excited for all of the work that y'all are doing. It is just, it's giving me chills just thinking about it.
Yep, me too. I cannot wait for this. So I'm hoping everybody else will start getting as excited as we are. And if they're not now, that's okay. Because I knew there was going to be something going on for Cantalumba this fall. But I wasn't excited until I was introduced to it. And then, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yep.
It's just, it's breathtaking. So, thank you for your part in that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so much of this is so many other people. But I think there was something several years ago in Sangha we were talked about, was it leveling up or taking our game up a level? I forget what it was. But this just reminds me of that. I'm like, oh, we're taking our game to the next level this year.
To the next level. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right.
It's good to hear from you. Enjoy your time and taking good care of her.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sridevi. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sridevi. And that sounds very exciting, Sherry.
Oh, Michael, you are not. You are going to be so beside yourself. You're going to love it. You are going to love it.
Got it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to wait until all of this comes out, but I'll do my best.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have another call here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara from Chicago.
Well, hello.
Hi, Barbara. Is it me? I'm here.
It is. You are there. You are here, and we are here.
Yes, it's good. So I'm back from retreat, and I had it was wonderful for me, it's really my second retreat where I had this experience of, well, it feels like this is how I'd like to live. And like everything I long for is here.
Mm-hmm.
I
know what you mean. It's that feeling of, I could live the rest of my life just like this.
Yeah.
And want for nothing. Be completely contented and happy
And so I'm most, I'm I struggle with participating, with calling in, and so there's no reason that I can't, because there's no conflict in my schedule. I just have this like moment to moment nudging to retreat, you know, I guess retreat, it's in another way, you know, pull back and hesitate, and then all these stupid reasons that show up that I can't participate and maybe I should wait till next week, and just this whole way I'm like nudged out of life, and mm-hmm. and how that's been going on for decades, and mm-hmm. so seeing that and then seeing the other side, the possibility that being on retreat offered.
Yes, and it's kind of what Sri Devi was just pointing at, being in your life and watching that, hearing it, and just realizing that's not true. You know, that's not true. I don't need to hold back. There's no reason I can't participate. There's nothing stopping me.
Yeah. I'm seeing that now. And I saw that on retreat, and saw that conversation as you know, kind of the one that had till now been guiding and directing my life. And so it's just, and then it comes up so quickly that it feels, well, it still has a really real feeling, like, but I do see that this is kind of what it's all about, and this came up on the retreat a lot, is that just to be out of this conversation, just to keep directing attention away. And so I really want to do that.
Yes. We had the most wonderful moment on the morning show where somebody, again, who's been practicing for a long time, because it does take us, well, most of us, I guess there are people who just sort of spontaneously awaken somewhere, but for most of us, it takes some solid looking and practicing. And all of a sudden, she got it, that she would have no problems if there were no voice talking to her in her head. And suddenly, the entire universe of possibilities just opens up in front of you.
Yeah.
Once you see that,
yeah,
but seeing it can take a little.
Yeah, yeah, or just seeing it every 2 seconds is really my experience. It's just, you know, just seeing it and letting it go, and seeing it and letting it go. It just, and I think what I've noticed is what gets in the way for me is this way that I don't know if this is the right word, but I indulge conditioning, or I'm somehow fascinated by it or impressed by it, like, oh, look at all the millions of ways it can get me, and I'll talk about it, and you know, so all of those things in kind of dig me into that conversation rather than turn my attention away from it. It's like I give it airtime.
Well, and don't you think that it, I hear you have a friend.
I know he's a talker, and I, you know, mom was away, so he's got a lot to tell me.
Yeah, he's got a lot to talk about.
Right.
So I would bet that process is sliding into the past for you. You used to be fascinated with it. You used to want to give it attention and talk about what it was doing and that sort of thing. But you've actually turned that corner. You've seen that it's not that fascinating. It's just robbing you of your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now you're in the see it, drop it, come here. See it, drop it, come here. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just so want that, you know.
Yeah.
Like nothing's been this clear in my life.
Yes.
You know,
this is where I say, and so you shall have that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what you want.
Yeah.
And that process of being fascinated by ego, that was what you wanted then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a stage that we have to go through, because it's remarkable to be one of these human beings and how all of this functions. It's amazing to begin to catch on to. But now what you want is to be here.
Yes.
And so that's what you'll have.
Yes, that's what I want now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
It is so good, Sherry.
I'm happy for you.
Oh, I'm happy too. Thank you so much.
Yes. And isn't that just the best? Because nothing really has changed, has it? I mean, you didn't get that $1 billion. You didn't. You're not something. You know, nothing about your life has actually changed.
Right.
Except you've seen this.
Yeah.
And you're happy.
Yeah. I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. So grateful to see it.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara.
What about me?
Sherry, what dropped in during your conversation is that when I participate, then no attention left to attend to that conversation in the head. And so it's like a double win. It's like I participate in life and have that experience, and also I'm prevented from having that other experience.
Yes.
So it's great.
Yes. That's really true, isn't it? I just saw that in my head. You described it perfectly. It's not just that you get one thing, you get two. Not only are you not going backwards, but you're also going forwards.
Yes. Yeah. And when I think about participating in this radio show, I realize that's the gift of it for me, is that I'm required to participate and be here and attend to the conversation and the callers and the queue and the computer. And so that's the gift of it, is being present and contributing and participating, and there's nothing left over for something else.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, for ego, it's a big, sad sob story about, you have to, and you have to this, and you have to that. And as we learned on the show the other day, no, I get to. And what I get out of getting to do this is that I get to be here.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Perfect.
And right now we get to hear from the Awareness Coaching Program. So that's
cool. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen Awareness Coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Well, before we hear from that caller, what Rebecca was saying on that little announcement is exactly what we were talking about with Barbara, right? That being here, being present, gives us, there's the any and everything of our lives, and we have exactly what our heart desires.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're here. Not because anything changes, but because we're here. So good.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what we really want.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay, who we got?
Wow. Okay, here we go. Next caller. You are now here. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
It's Stephanie.
San Francisco. Hi, you guys. Whew. Feel the energy, and I'm going to use a little bit of practice training and keep it to one topic.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that's taking all of me. I actually didn't have anything to call about either. But what inspired me was kind of this full circle that I'm experiencing right now, in that I inherited my father's cats that he couldn't take to his new place.
Aha. Uh-huh. You have a new sibling.
Yeah, well, so I have my original cat, who's a brother, now lives with my former spouse, and that was all worked out, and now I have two more brothers to live with, and they're 14.
I see. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to bring it full circle to the full circle that I was talking about, I just took one home from the vet, and he is sick.
Mm.
And this is the same kitty that stayed with my mom as she passed away.
My.
And it's my turn to take care of him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this full circle.
Yeah, and so I'm guessing from what you're saying that whatever is going on with him is terminal.
Yes. He's mm-hmm. he probably has a, you know, maybe 2 to 4 weeks.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Uh-huh.
So we're just going to take care of him until he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just lost my other little baby, you know, a year ago in March. And so I feel like I'm getting good at death in a positive way.
Uh-huh. Keeping the heart open as folks transition.
Yeah. And accepting that there's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I had such a nice conversation with a gentleman in the waiting area who's just found out that his 14-and-a-half-year-old dog has a tumor, inoperable. And what I wanted to say, the most important thing that I wanted to express to him was that in this container, we can carry this sorrow and pain of the passing for our own self, and that we can also be in love at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to close our hearts at all, does it? Pain
no.
doesn't need to close our hearts. Suffering, when we allow ego to take it into this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening, why is this happening, and we suffer, our hearts close. But in the pain, what you're pointing at is that we can just stay in love. The heart is open, and then I would say it's a gift to all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a gift to all. It's a gift to everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The lack of resistance there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, bless your hearts.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me share that. And I would not be here with this open heart without you and the Sangha and the practice.
Mm. Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
We do this together, don't we? Let us,
we do.
Let me know how it goes with him, okay? And with
okay,
you.
I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I shall.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good night. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Stephanie. Yeah, keeping our hearts open is critical, Team Sherry.
And that staying in that place of there's nothing wrong, that this is natural. These cycles are natural. This is how life is. Now, how we get so bamboozled into believing that how we're told life should be is how life should be. When the evidence that life is the way it is just everywhere.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yes.
And knowing that, of course, we can be so much more present to what we do have in our lives because we know it's going to end. One of us is going to go.
Yes.
We know that. That's just a given. That's just how it is. So staying in that place, as Stephanie is describing, where it's really painful, and staying in love.
Yes, 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 keeping our hearts open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have another caller here, Sharon.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Jill in Brooklyn.
In
hey,
Brooklyn.
I'm in Brooklyn.
Still at work.
Well, actually, I'm in a park in Brooklyn. Which is always a little bit risky when you call in. So, Michael, if you hear any helicopters overhead, feel free to mute me.
Call 911.
Yeah, but I'll just put in a plug for, getting in the queue. I mean, I have so many things pulling at me often on these Tuesday nights, and when I'm in the queue, it really forces me to just say this is the most important thing that I'm doing right now, and I wanted to have my full attention, and it really changes my experience of listening to everyone and just being participating, as was mentioned, just that I'm my attention is fully here, it feels like.
And that is most important, right? There are all of these things that we all do. And they're important, and they're especially important to us. And yet, if ego can get hold of those and turn them into something that is worthy of taking us away from the present, away from ourselves, and away from life, then that just isn't a good thing, no matter what that thing is. And so regularly to say to that system, actually, no. There are lots of things that I could be attending to, but right now I'm going to attend to this thing that helps me be able to really enjoy my life.
Mm.
That's being here.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what that's reminding me of is something that came up for me on the retreat, which I was also just on and just thought it was fabulous. Doing awareness practice, I find I have a lot of, it feels like I have a lot of time now that is not going to conditioning, and so I can do a lot of things. I can do, there's a lot I can do, and I can have one day, and I just can't, sometimes I'll write down everything I did in that day just to really appreciate like what this person did and just marvel at sort of what was capable of. But also I can do the thing where I'm eating two bites and then cleaning a dish, and then picking something off the floor and then going back to eating a bite and, you know, that the flow of life seems to be a little bit, it's going in some interesting directions where it doesn't feel like there's, I don't know, there's space for anything else except what, quote unquote, needs to get done or the doing part, you know. So that was one thing I was just appreciating about being on this call, is I feel like it does force me to get away from all the other things, even walking while listening to the show or anything, just like just putting everything else aside. Just sit down.
Yeah.
Just be here with this. It just feels feels like a very restful thing.
Kindness. It feels like kindness, doesn't it? Honoring the person, being really respectful and kind to the person who does so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and that came up in an earlier conversation too, this idea that, you know, when you're with the person who you've been bonded to here for eternity or whatever, you know, that kindness is what is most helpful, or not even helpful. It just is the experience.
The thing.
That feels, you know, most.
It's the deal.
Heartful. Yeah, it's the deal. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah,
it's the deal.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. This for you, you for me, for Michael, for everybody. Where this is your person.
Yeah.
This is what is enabling all of this to happen for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so periodically, just to give full attention to and really honor, show respect for, appreciation for that human incarnation.
Mm.
Really powerful.
Mm.
Changes everything for us.
It does. Absolutely, yeah, and to recognize what is suffering, too. That was a big thing that came up for me at the retreat, that, you know, some things I could sort of skip over as, it's fine or whatever. It's like, no, let's check in with the person on that, you know?
Don't
skip over her.
Right. Bring in an authority here.
The one
who's actually living the life.
Exactly. The one who's having the experience. Let's let them chime in on, instead of making a decision like, okay, well, this has to happen this way, whether suffering or not. And if it turns out, you know, she's suffering and there's nothing that can be done about the external, at least, you know, attending to her in some way
has to be part
of the program.
Yeah, and what, of course, what we find increasingly is when we attend to the, in quotes, internal, the external really ceases to be that important.
I have done so many recordings about that in the past 2 days. Like, there is nothing more important. If this is, you know, then attending to this person. And the attention, where is the attention? Nothing else. No conditioned story is more important than that. So
that's right. And of course, ego would listen to what we're saying and say, that is so egocentric. So the only thing that matters in life is you, right? And that is exactly the opposite, 180 degrees away from what we're saying.
Yeah, because what I found is that once that person is attended to, and oftentimes it takes seconds in some way, then this person is available to all things, to be of service to all things. But if she's not attended to, then conditioning is talking into her into how to get her needs met in all of these subversive ways. You know, we're waiting for our turn. It's like, it's so much easier to pull her into a conversation about how to get her needs met when, you know, if she can just have that assurance or touching in, that
appreciation,
we're here together. Then it's like, let's go have fun and be with the world and whatever is. And it's just really extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that, and not a single helicopter.
I know, so, and it was so funny. I was, yeah,
the
one,
park tonight.
One, well, one went over earlier, so I was like, oh, I hope I don't get on with this, like, telegraph at time. But, you know, life provides, as we know.
That It does. All right. Thank you
all
so
right.
much, Jill.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. I was thinking the same thing, Sherry, that life provides and the universe arranges and we all benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. When we're not listening to a story in our head about what's wrong with what's being provided.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are next. Live on the air, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Karen from North Carolina.
Hello there. That was such a big sigh.
It's just amazing. So I'm listening to the call, enjoying every moment. My heart is opening, and I take my earplugs out and put my ear up to the phone because I have this sense that I'll be the next person.
Wow. And there you are.
And here I am.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about it is how ego continues to narrate my life minute by minute.
Mm.
And sometimes,
say more.
Well, sometimes that's confusing for me because it's hard for me to see. It's hard for me to know if I'm seeing it or in it. Because, I mean, I watched uh-huh. that whole process that I was describing to you, watching and seeing it all, but yet there was someone telling me about it as it was happening.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, and I would suggest someone was telling you about it about 1 second after it was happening.
Well, a millisecond. Yes, yes.
Yes.
And yes. It's not in the same time, but that's just what ego does. It's just always spinning its narrative.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. and usually, and especially if we're not paying attention, it's close enough that we don't notice that it's not actually happening in the moment, but it's happening right after.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, as you say, narrating it.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us about our life, telling us what's happening in our life, which is really quite bizarre because it is our life,
mm-hmm.
and we are living it.
Yes, and I've done.
Yeah.
You know, I've been practicing long enough that I see it, and I know that it's not real. And it just always astounds me how it continues to do what it does.
You think, you know, any self-respecting person would be caught out like that and say, "Okay, all right, I'll quit." But not ego. It just goes right on. Because sometimes we're not paying attention.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and then
yeah.
Then it gets to have, it runs its number.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
And I just have to, when you, earlier on the call, describing the human being, that if it weren't for the human incarnation that's here, we wouldn't be waking up. And to have, I heard that in a way that I had never heard that before, and I just burst out laughing, and chills just ran all over my body, and that's when I put myself in the queue because I said, I've got to say amen, sister.
Yes, because we are so conditioned to believe that we are kind of extraneous somehow.
Mm.
You know, we're kind of an annoying, flawed interruption in the way things should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so for mm-hmm. us to turn it around the way you're describing and realize, no, I'm here first, not
mm-hmm.
I, but this human being is here first. This is what's unfolding. This is what's manifesting. And then, of course, right behind it is the you know, well, what about this and what about that, and you should have this and they shouldn't have that and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
and if we're not there, we believe it. But when we're there, as you notice, we can just go, yeah, whatever.
Yes. And, you know, I think the, well, what's the saving grace? I just love these words as they come out. I'm getting told all sorts of things, but the recording and listening practice, so those times of days when I'm consciously, you know, I'm plugged in to listening to something else, it's just really such relief and such a training.
Yes.
And I'm just
and
so grateful.
And it makes all this clear, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It makes what we're talking about so very clear. Because mm-hmm. the difference between recordings that you make and listen to versus what is coming in behind your life experience to narrate your life,
mm-hmm.
the difference between those two is stark.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. This call is just, it's, I mean, I come into every Tuesday night, I leave the call with a more open heart than I join the call.
Yeah.
And
isn't
I
that
can,
magic?
Yeah. Well, and most, I would say most every practice moment is magic like that.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that I'm participating in. And I feel like I've
Definitely.
Been, all the people that have, we've been talking with since the retreat ended, I feel like I was there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, I can feel the energy of that retreat just from hearing people talk about it.
Yes. And that is one of the great benefits of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've been practicing so long that at this point, just the moving into the process of practicing,
mm-hmm.
you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You're home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening to another recording of one of our calls with other practice moments that we have, and we were talking about expectation and, let me see if I can recall it. Something about if we have an expectation, if we're looking for an endpoint of what we want to be, then, I'm not going to get there. Then we'll just turn our attention to that.
And so instead of being here.
Well.
Is that what you mean?
In order to get here, if I know what I'm going for, then I'll just get there. I can imagine it and I'm there.
Now, if you know what you're going for, you're already here.
I'm already there.
Yeah, right? Or it wouldn't have occurred to you.
Yes. Well, I have this thing which I'm working on of that. The ego is always making comparisons about how inarticulate I am. And so it's even for me to try to step out of my comfort zone and explain something that I really don't know where I'm at. It's just it's a great practice opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, of course, one of ego's great techniques is talk to you while you're trying to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try to get your attention on it instead of on what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and then beat you up for being inarticulate.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Well, and I think I'm seeing what I was sort of alluding to, what I was alluding to at the beginning of the call. My attention is a lot more on that narrative than here.
That's right.
I'm just
that's
seeing
right.
that.
And that's when you get thrown off.
Yeah.
And that's why it's really important to go back and listen to a call like this and realize you weren't inarticulate.
Mm-mm.
In spite of what that system was doing to you.
Uh-huh.
You were still able to be present and describe your experience and talk about it and get to a deeper place of understanding it for you and for the rest of us, right, in spite of what it was saying,
mm-hmm.
which is why it wants you not to listen back,
mm-hmm.
why it wants to tell you how inarticulate you are so that you will continue to believe that narrative instead of having your own direct experience of what is true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you.
You are so very, very, very welcome.
Oh.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, please.
Oh, I've been putting okra in pint jars this evening and doing pickled okra. It's just been a delight.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
If you like okra.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I'm very happy for you, Karen.
Okay, well, y'all, thank you so much. Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Sherry, I think we have time for one more caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry, it's Jeff, North Carolina.
Oh, my goodness, we've got the North Carolina group going.
Yeah, exactly.
East
exactly.
And west. Yeah.
That's right. Well, I also started to want, and when Michael said we had time for one more caller, I started to wander into my room and get ready just in case. And sure enough.
Sure enough, it's you.
That's right. Let's see. I'm trying to make this brief here. Just a moment. So what I've been looking at, I think, with two different pieces of content, health and dating, is that I saw it with health first, I'm kind of practicing seeing it with dating, and it's still practicing seeing it with health. I saw that, you know, I've talked many, many times, you know, on open air and with you and other practice, you know, occasions about health over the years. But I was just looking at it recently that, you know, actually, if everything in my health was all of a sudden to turn great, even though, yeah, that would be great, it's actually not what I'm going for, because that wouldn't be freedom. You know, so what freedom, I don't know, at least how it occurred to me or my memory of how it occurred to me, freedom looks more like I'm okay no matter what happens.
Yes.
And that's what I'm going for, because otherwise, what I saw in it was, you know, if I, let's say everything all of a sudden got great with health, then I can still be in the fear that something's going to go wrong, in quotes. And of course, if something is going to go wrong and we're all going to die anyway, eventually. So that's, you know, that's a totally losing game. So I just thought that was really good to see. And I said it to someone, a couple of people actually I was talking to recently, and I'm not saying I'm living in this place now, but what I was saying to them from the place I was at that moment and I'm practicing being in is yes. Actually, you say that yes prayer sometimes, you know, yes, please.
Yes, please. Thank you. I love you.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Yes, please. Thank you. I love you.
Yes. And but the yes specifically was related to this is what's going on with health. And it wasn't even simply, yes, I accept that this is what's going on. It's even more, it's a yes. This is for me. You know, this whatever's going on, this must be for me.
Yeah.
It's including the health experiences that I'm having.
And Jeff, the thing that I think is so important about what you're saying is that saying yes to all of your life experience, even what is very challenging, So with help, it doesn't, saying yes to what is does not preclude what's possible.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right? In fact,
yeah.
Quite the opposite. It really, saying yes to this is really an opening for everything else that's possible.
Can you say more?
Yeah. And I'll take it into another content piece because I think it's easier to see. So people don't have enough money. That's the story. I don't have enough money. And that's where the focus is, on I don't have enough money. And so what grows is what we attend to. And so what grows is not having enough money. And there are a ton of people living that out, right? But
yes.
When we focus on having enough money, so it gets back to a childhood or childish, I guess we could say, superstition, that if I say I'm grateful for what I have, then this is all I'll ever get. It's quite the opposite. If I'm grateful for what I have, that opens the door for more because what I'm focusing on is grateful for what I have. So what's going to grow?
Wow.
Grateful for what I have, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So all of the conditioning, of course, is the opposite of the way it really works. So if you want to, you know, if you want to have better health, then what you focus on is all of the good health you have. And then what grows is all of the good health you have.
Yeah. Well, see if this also kind of is a corollary or also fits with what you're saying, because what I saw just a little bit ago in what you're saying is the yes, the grateful for not even for the good, in quotes, good health that I have, but for the life experience, the all of it.
Yes.
The grateful for everything that this is for me. That I what I saw in it as you were talking about it was in that place, that is the place in which I'm open to, where an insight about what could be helpful regarding health can drop in.
That's right. You are opening a portal. That's what yes is. Yes opens a portal. And the more we say it, the bigger the portal gets. And what you're pointing at is it's across the board. So it's health, it's money, it's dating, then it's the person you're looking for. If it's work, then it's the situation that you're So what you're doing is opening that portal wider and wider and wider for everything that's possible for you to come in. And it's not the secret, okay? We're not talking about the laws of attraction or any of that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. What's keeping everything from us is karmic conditioning, the constant conversation of negation that we're living in. So I have a belief that I'll never find the right person. I'll never have a job that I really love. I'll never have enough money. I'll never have good health. I'll never get to do the things I want to do. That's the story I live in, and by God, life delivers on it. If that's what I want, then that's what I'll have. It's huge, isn't it?
Wow.
It's big, and it's very, very exciting. When we really get a glimpse of how this whole thing works, we just turn it upside down and away we go.
Yeah. Wow. And another thing I think I see in it is I see how several times in this conversation the karmic conditioning is wanting to have this be something that I, in quotes, can use. But, you know, I recognize that as like, oh, no.
Because
I can't, there's no making any of this happen. It simply happens and happens, you know, through
that's
practice.
Right.
It's what I can't say, okay, I'm going to try to get.
Go ahead. Is saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, to whatever.
That's right, to your life. To everything that is given to you, to say yes. That's your part, right? Now, can you make that turn into the right person or more money or good health or no? Because that's where, as you notice, that's where ego comes in and takes hold of it. Oh, well, I'll figure out how to use this little formula to get what I want. And of course, then what we get is the life experience of somebody trying to get what they want, which is negativity and deprivation and loss and self-pity, and it's not pretty. That's what ego is.
Somebody trying to get what they want and not getting it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
The laws of the universe cannot be manipulated. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? But they're so easy. They're such easy laws to obey. Just say yes. Just be grateful for what you're given. There.
Wow.
We can do that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll say one other thing. I know we're over time, so I would say one other thing. And that is that in doing that process, so if we do the saying yes and being grateful, we start looking for things to say yes to and to be grateful for. So our lives actually begin to expand immediately. Mm-hmm. And the more you look for what you're grateful for, the more there is to be grateful for, because it's that same expanding process.
Mm. Flood everything with a yes.
Flood it all with a yes. A yes, please, thank you, I love you. Cannot go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Jeff.
Thanks,
care.
Michael. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You too. Bye
now. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. It was wonderful.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Okay, good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.